Bruce appropriately said that this is not a lecture. It's rather a journey in consciousness. One exploration in consciousness. It's rather about discovery and accessing energy. Again, it can't be a lecture because in a lecture there are words and the words have certain meanings. When you use the word energy, therefore, I said it's an accessing of energy. We already have meanings for the word energy. We already know different types of energy. You know solar energy, you know wind energy, you know electrical energy, magnetic energy, and different types of other energies. You're familiar with energies. So when I use the word energy, you already have some idea of it. And that's why this is not a lecture. Well, you might say, okay, those are material energies or chemical energies. There's also the physical energy, the biological energy of the body. It's not even that. So it's an energy that has to be understood not through words, but through accessing it. Being in touch with it. Discovering it. So the talk is really about accessing it. But once you access it, then it's all known. No one has to describe it to you and no one can describe it to you. So the focus is on accessing energy. Repeat, not the energies that we know of. What's different from this energy than the energies that we know of? The energies that we are familiar with are measurable. Are limited. Are controllable. You can harness them. And with this other energy that we are dealing with now, or we are talking of accessing, none of this is possible. You cannot measure it. You cannot describe it. You cannot harness it. But you can access it. So the focus would be on accessing this energy. Now, accessing this energy requires certain conditions. One of the conditions is a state of openness, a willingness to discover. Now, in order to discover, you have to forget all you know. Because if you have any memory or any knowledge, then what you discover will be in terms of what you know. And that would be not new. That would not be a discovery. So we are talking really of discovering something that is absolutely, totally, and forever new. So it cannot be discovered in terms of what you already know. Now that may be the most difficult thing, condition to meet. Because we already know so much. We are bombarded with information every day. The newspapers, the television, the internet. Even before these, from your upbringing, from your education, from society, from the government, you're bombarded with information. And then out of this information, from your experiences that you have memories and knowledge of these two. And so, the first condition that I'm speaking of is so difficult to meet. How can you forget everything you know? When I say everything, I mean absolutely everything. Even the idea that you are this person. And when I say forget, I don't mean forget in a stupid way, like when you're unconscious, you may in that state be said to have forgotten everything, you don't know anything. Not in that way. To be conscious and yet to have let go of every idea or memory that you have, including the idea of yourself. Now, this condition is really impossible. Except through the energy itself. So, even if one has the intention, the willingness to discover, willingness to inquire into, even just that opens a possibility. And things begin to happen which through your willingness cannot. Or through your effort, I'm sorry, through your effort cannot. So, once again, it's this energy itself that can do it for you. And so here, in this situation, as we meet with a particular intention or motive, we are meeting in a small way the condition. And so there will already be some access to this energy. And you might, all of you or some of you, may start feeling the effects of it. And the effects would be on your mind, the slowing of your thoughts, the speed and pressure of your thoughts, which otherwise is impossible to do. Through effort, you cannot reduce the pressure and speed of your thoughts. But this energy may make it happen. You might begin to experience this. You may have a taste or glimpse of this. And that reduction of your thoughts, the speed and pressure of your thoughts, that reduction is already a letting go of what you know. Because what you know is in the form of thoughts. And so, you're already, the condition is already being prepared. As you let go, you become more open. As you become more open, you start gaining access to this energy. This energy in turn slows your mind further, allowing you to let go even more, even deeper levels thoughts, subconscious mind, even those thoughts from the subconscious mind, thoughts and feelings and pictures from the subconscious mind start coming up, and you're enabled to let these go too. And in this practice then, you learn in this way the ability to let go and the ability to discover, and therefore you meet the condition of being able to access energy. Now I mentioned that you might feel the effects of this energy on your mind, slowing of your thoughts, and that has a remarkable effect in expanding your consciousness. Because the thoughts were limiting you to a certain condition. Thoughts were your conditioning and were narrowing your focus of consciousness, narrowing the limit of your consciousness. Now, letting go of these thoughts creates an emptiness of the mind, which is then an expansion in consciousness. Now, again, all this is not for you to think of, it's not a lecture. So, expansion in consciousness. Can you sense this? Not think it. Is there an expansion in consciousness? is there with that a feeling of lightness? To what degree is this feeling of lightness? It's not a lightness that you're imagining or visualizing. I'm not telling you you are light. But with the mind slowing down, is there a feeling of lightness? Or is the mind as though your baggage, which you've put down, you've cast aside, so there's not this weight of baggage, and so a feeling of lightness. Is there a lightness, not just of mind, but also of body? How could this happen? Again, the weight of baggage, that's one explanation. Another explanation is this expansion of consciousness. Does this remove the force of gravity? I repeat again, I'm not telling you something. You're not expected to believe this or understand it as a concept. Are you experiencing this? When I say lightness, I don't mean a spaciness. A lightness through being, through a centeredness. When you are spacey, you're light too, but you're off center, totally off. That's different. In that there's no expansion of consciousness. There's only a flight of imagination. So we are saying inner centeredness, an expansion of consciousness, creating a lightness of being. In this expansion of consciousness, you're not the body. Initially you thought you were the body, but you let go of that idea as a condition. So, does the expansion in consciousness create a lightness in being, a lightness of body and mind? Does it create an awareness of body and mind? Awareness so clear that it's clear you are not the body and mind. Now when you do experience yourself to be body and mind, is that identification the cause of gravity? Is that what pulls you down? Is that what causes heaviness? The identification with body and mind, mind meaning your thoughts, your feelings, your memories, experiences, your past, the patterns and so on, all of this, is this what causes gravity? Now I'm using terms like gravity, which is a term in physics, but you don't have to worry about the context in physics. We're using it in a special context. If you feel light, how did that lightness happen? We'll be using more terms in physics, but don't confuse them with physics. They have their correlation, but you can understand these terms without knowing anything of physics. So now, coming back to this expansion in consciousness, which is giving you an access to this energy, which is the cause, which is caused by this energy, and is this energy. This expansion in consciousness, to what limits is this expansion? When we said that this energy cannot be described, cannot be measured, it implies then this expansion of consciousness cannot be measured and therefore is infinite. Now, look at this word carefully. Nothing in this world, in this universe, is infinite. Nothing, absolute nothing. The entire universe is measurable. Space and time are measurable. So, if you discover this quality of infiniteness, what does that imply? Does it mean beyond space and time? Now, don't think, because beyond space and time you can't imagine. You can imagine other worlds. But all worlds are in space and time. All worlds are measurable. Whether it's this world, whether it's spirit world, whether it's the world of aliens and UFOs, the underworld, fantasy worlds, dream worlds, any type of world that you can think of, are all in space and time. All are measurable in time and space. In all, there is past and future. There is distance. There is experiencer and experience. In all of these, the fact that you're experiencing them is the experiencer and the experience. But this state of infinite consciousness, What state is this? You can't think it. Is it beyond all worlds? Is it beyond time and space? Now, the correlation in physics, space began, the universe began with a big bang at a certain moment. From that moment, time was created. And space. Before that moment, nothing is known. You cannot think about it. You cannot have any theory about it. Nothing. There's a nothingness there. So now, this expansion in consciousness, which has been explained to be beyond space and time, do you see where this takes you? There's no time in this consciousness. So, is this the state before the Big Bang? Or does the creation of space and time mask this consciousness, cover it up? Hides this consciousness. When space and time are created, this consciousness is lost. Because there's the consciousness of what is created. The world, its objects, and its experiences. The attention is on these. So what was originally there is hidden. Coming back to this energy, where is this energy? Where does it come from? Is it everywhere? You must sense it. Is it around you? Does it surround you? Is it inside you too, as well? Is it in every cell of your body, in every atom? It must be the most subtlest energy ever known. It's not known. Or subtler than any energy that's known. If it can be inside you and outside you and in every atom. Can you sense this? You can't sense this if you're thinking. If you're trying to understand this through thinking, it's not possible. Mentioned in the beginning, you must put aside all you know. Which doesn't mean put aside all you know and accept what I'm saying. I'm not telling you to accept what I'm saying. Put aside all you know and discover what happens in your consciousness. Now this energy, I ask, is it inside you as well as outside you? Is it a state of being? Is it your state of being? Without identification, without memory, without knowledge, is it your state of being? Does it contain you? Are you contained in this energy? Is the world contained in this energy? Is the whole of space and time contained in this energy? Is space and time a superimposition on this energy, thus covering it? And yet contained within it. Now, what's the purpose of this? What's the purpose of accessing such an energy? First of all, is this what gives you life? Is it this energy that pumps your heart and circulates your blood? Is it this energy that gives you consciousness and the ability to think and feel? And does this energy give you the ability to understand everything? Is there in this energy an understanding without thought? Does the energy contain an understanding of everything, the essence of everything? So is it an intelligent energy, an energy that has intelligence, consciousness, and it's life-giving? So is it living energy? That's what I said, not like the energies that we know of, not the material energies. Is this a life-giving energy? Well, the sun also gives you life, but not that way, not indirectly. Is this what gives life to the sun? Since the whole of space and time is contained within this, is this what creates or manifests as space and time and as the sun, and indirectly through the sun too gives you energy? independent of the sun, a direct life-giving energy. Can you sense this? As the mind slows, is there a healing, a natural healing? The wounds are in the mind, in the form of thoughts and feelings. So when the mind slows down, these wounds are dissolved. And there is healing. Does the energy produce healing? If it's a life-giving energy, certainly it would. Or, let's say the reverse, because it causes healing, it's life-giving. Can it make you feel born again, as though you were just born, or that you were never born? You were never born. The form that you experience is an idea, an identification, a perception, an experience, not you. If there is a sense of this infinite consciousness as a state of being, and it has to be your state of being because that's what you're experiencing. Again, the word experiencing, but not an experience, because the mind has become quiet, all experiences have been dropped, all memories and experiences have been dropped, and what's left now is this state of being. It has to be your state of being. And we describe how this was beyond space and time. And if this is so, then you were never born. The identification with this body gives you the experience and the feeling that you were born. The identification with the forms in the world gives you the experience of the world and the idea that the world has been created or was created. Go back into this consciousness or into this energy, and do you have the understanding that the world was never created? It is experienced the moment you perceive it. Now, once again, this is beyond the human mind to understand. Do not try to understand it through the intellect. If I say the world was never created, don't say, I agree or disagree. Is it so? Is it created by your perceiving it? And how would you know this? There's no answer to this, but how would you know this? Getting into this state of consciousness, or this energy, which I've described as intelligent, life-giving, all-knowing, getting into that state, you were never born. And the world never was. From that state now, coming back into the mind, there's the idea of yourself, and through the idea of yourself, the experience of the world. Through the idea of yourself as the body, having the five sense organs, the organs of sight, taste, touch, smell and hearing, through these organs, a sensory experience of the world, a sensory experience. Like a movie is a sensory experience of two senses, sight and sound. And a movie can be so real. Here we've got five senses to make it appear even more real. And then you've got identification, concretizing this, like gravity pulling you down and binding you into this, binding you, putting you into bondage, that you are a human being experiencing a world with all its complexities and conflicts. And through your attraction and repulsion of these events in the world, even further identified, further enmeshed, further in bondage. And then we seek an understanding of all this and come up with different theories, different philosophies, different religions and so on, trying to help us to understand this complexity. Now my point is this understanding, as Bruce mentioned in the introduction, the understanding lies hidden in you. How can that be? How can the understanding of this huge complexity be hidden in you? Because you experience it. You experience it and try to figure out the complexity. It's not possible. So the way being suggested is accessing this energy. How do you access this energy? Let go of this complexity, this mind, the thoughts. Starting the direction, already there's a guidance or an assistance helping you further on, as I described earlier. And then coming to this experiencer, the mind is quiet. As you go in this direction, the mind is quiet, and you, the experiencer, are experiencing a quiet mind, an expansion in consciousness. There is still the experiencer, the I thought, the entity, the separate entity. Going further in this direction, the energy or this consciousness enables you, not through your effort, through this energy, let's say the grace of this energy, enables you to dissolve even the I thought. I use the word grace because I already described it's a life-giving energy. It's a warm, life-giving energy. I can use the word love as well. But so through the benevolence of this energy, even the experiencer dissolves. And then you might even glimpse, even before that experience of dissolve, you might glimpse, you might have an understanding of this vastness, of this timelessness. And an understanding that is from this that you come into being. From that point, from the point as experiencer, from that point, that's what's buried in you. The experiencer, the I thought, the idea of yourself. Now, if the world was never created and you were never born, you might say, what's the purpose of this world and what am I supposed to do here? The question is irrelevant because of the fact that this is how it happens. And if in this energy there is this peace, this calmness, this stillness, this life force, this infiniteness, this timelessness, this knowing, what does it matter? What else matters? And in this energy, is there not an infinite beauty? And with this beauty, an infinite love. And does that remove all your questions about why does this happen? What am I supposed to do here? Accessing this energy, experiencing this infinite beauty and love. Is that the meaning? And if I may answer again to your question, what am I supposed to do here in this world? Well, can't you in this world as well see infinite beauty? Aren't there signs everywhere? When you look at a bird, are you in wonder of it? Or do you think you know and give it a name and think you know just because you know the name of the bird, that's it? Are you in wonder of a bird or a flower or an insect or the stars, the sky, a plane flying through the sky? Are you in wonder of all this? Are you in wonder of everything that happens in this world? Or have you forgotten how to wonder because you're used to naming things and answering and having an intellectual understanding? So again, what am I supposed to do in this world? Well, can't you use the experience of the world to get back into the state? A state of openness, a state of wonder, wonder at everything, at the war, at your neighbor, at your child, at everything. There's wonder in everything, in every heartbeat of yours. Have you forgotten how to wonder? You've never been trained how to wonder. Our entire education is about information, about facts, and knowledge of that type. We've never been trained or guided into wonder, into an openness, into discovering. So your world experience too can bring you to that state. And if you come to that state of wonder, you'll find the mind getting quiet. If you learn to wonder, the mind gets quiet. And as the mind gets quiet, you have access to this energy, this life-giving energy, in which there is direct understanding of everything. I don't mean intellectual understanding of information, not that, you don't need that. Information you can pick up from a book, just like you don't need to know everything in a telephone directory. You can pick up a telephone directory when you need it. You don't have to remember it. So when I say you know everything, it doesn't mean information. It doesn't mean information about everything. It means the essence of everything, the essence of yourself and everything you experience, a connectedness, a oneness between you and what you experience, a non-duality. So again, accessing this energy is about non-duality. It is thought and the mind that causes duality, that causes the duality of the experiencer and the experience. That's the duality. And in duality there is conflict and confusion and limitedness. To put it briefly, the state of wonder or openness, access to this energy, quietening of mind, brings you into a state of connectedness or oneness, the non-dual state. Now, I mentioned the condition of openness, to be open. There are some other conditions too. The other condition that comes to mind is an effortlessness. You have to learn to be effortless. And effortlessness doesn't mean, effortless doesn't mean inaction or non-action. It means being effortless even in action. So that has to be learned too. So in this state of openness, you can't do it through effort. To wonder at your taking effort even, to wonder at that. Why do you make effort? The planets move effortlessly. Why do you make effort? Can you not move effortlessly? Can you not be in action effortlessly? That has to be learned. So if you're in a state of wonder, or you want to get into the state of openness, it has to be effortless. And why is this necessary? It's because if you want to be in the state of wonder or openness all the time, how could you be in such a state if there was effort involved? And effort comes in the way in any case. That was not the point. Effort comes in the way in any case, because it's the I that's making effort. I'm making effort. So the identification you're not letting go of is coming in the way of your access to this energy. And then, not making effort doesn't mean not moving or not taking action. Because even if you don't move, you're making effort in the mind by every thought. Every thought is effort. Thinking is effort. Identifying with your feelings and your imagination is effort. So, to be effortless requires a watchfulness. To be watchful that you don't go with your mind, with your thoughts and feelings, and with your imagination. A watchfulness. A watchfulness that you move without effort. And that again would bring this lightness. Learning of this effortlessness and a practice of this openness would bring this lightness, a lightness of being. Where you're in touch with yourself, that is not body or mind. That was never born and never dies. Again, not your soul that is born and reborn in different lives, not that. A being that was never born and never dies. Which is yourself. Yourself, not as an idea, not as an answer or conclusion or concept, but a state of mystery and wonder. A state of infiniteness. A state of timelessness. A state of knowing. A state of existence, pure existence, eternal. State of beauty, a state of oneness, a state of love. Good night.